KPCA LP, Petaluma, California.
Hey there, Petaluma. I'm Dominic Del Bene, host of Origin Stories. Every week, we examine the DNA of hip-hop classics, focusing on the songs that were sampled and the songs that we love. Tune in to hear the jazz, funk, soul, and rock that make up the best of today's rap music. Tuesdays from 10 to noon, here on KPCA 103.3 FM.
Are you looking for an alternative to the usual political punditry? With free-range radio KPCA, look no further. Given the day of the week, local programmers delve into such topics as Pilates, mental health, and even independent journalism, with guests that evoke honest and open discussions. Tune in at 103.3 FM or online at kpca.fm.
Good morning. We're getting a little bit of a late start. And here we are. It's time for Inside Petaluma.
It's never too late for Inside Petaluma.
It's never too late for Inside Petaluma. We're here. We are present. It was interesting. How Janice and I were sitting out in the green room, just chatting away, and all of a sudden we looked up and it's time.
We were having so much fun out there.
So welcome to Inside Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas, co-hosting with today Janice Gita Thompson, and usually with Jason Davies, but he is he's in L.A.
He's in L.A. He's at a conference or at a convention or something, and I think he'll be coming home today.
Yeah.
It's over Friday. I had a talk with him on Monday or Tuesday while he was driving down.
Okay. What's he doing down there? Working?
Working. Oh, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. So, what's been happening last week, Janice?
Well, in Petaluma, a lot's been actually happening. Actually, a few Mondays ago, there was an editorial in the Press Democrat, and it was talking about who will build houses, you know, for Petaluma. And so, I'm actually going to be having a conversation with the editorial board, Jim Sweeney, with the Press Democrat, about his editorial, and talking about the Riverfront Project, and talking about transportation, because transportation is something that I've been watching for 25 years.
Yes, you are. Like
a hawk, and I feel like I understand it well, so I'm really excited about meeting with him to have that conversation. But I think that's all I'm going to talk about today, because I think we have great guests, and I want to kind of move on.
I doubt that that's going to be all you're going to talk about today.
Well, that's probably
true. That's going to happen.
But we'll move on anyway, so
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, all right. So, anything? I was out of the country last week.
I know.
I feel like I just came to a new town and I'm the new person.
Well,
so
I want to say
going on.
You brought the beautiful sunshine back from Mexico. Thank you.
Yeah, I was laying out on the beach in Mexico and listening to all kinds of good music. I went down there specifically for music, and my Nixle alert kept going off on my phone telling me that everything was flooding up here.
Oh.
I felt almost guilty while I was putting that SPF 30 all over.
You're right. I just read an article about sunscreens and vitamin D and that kind of stuff. Too. We'll talk about that another time.
Maybe we can get somebody from one of the medical centers to come and talk to us about
that. That would be great.
Yeah. Fun. All right. So we have a couple of guests here today and community leaders, actually. And we have all kinds of stuff to talk about with them. We have Faith Ross and Gloria Robinson in the studio with us. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for being here. Yeah. So these are two very busy ladies in the community, and I think we should start talking about some of that. Faith, you are involved with the Petaluma Community Relations Council here.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. And Gloria is a founder of Petaluma Blacks for Community Development. So
yes, I am.
Two very busy ladies. Yeah. So what do we want to talk about first? We need to mention Black History Month,
and I'd like to talk about Black History Month, but I'd also like to talk about up-and-coming events that will be happening during the month. So
there's lots of them.
Okay, so why don't we start with PCRC, our Petaluma Community Relations Council.
Okay, Faith.
Since our next event starts in January, actually is next Wednesday, January 30th at 6:30 at the Petaluma Library. It is an inquiry and conversation on bias in our schools. Our high schools is what we're going to look at. We know that this doesn't start in high school. We know that it probably starts at the homes, but you need to start at some place in order to get the conversation going.
Right.
And so what we're going to be doing is looking at, we've invited some students, some high school students, and also some of the school administrators to look at this issue. What has happened in the past is that there was a survey done by the Junior Commission on Human Rights a couple of years ago on this particular subject, and they found some really interesting things out about the biases and stuff in the schools. Their survey dealt with the whole county. What we're looking at on next Wednesday, is just things that are happening in our schools, specifically Petaluma High School in CASA. And also not just, it's an inquiry. It's not a you said, he said, or whatever that might look like. Yeah. But it's just an inquiry into, since that survey was done, what is going on in the schools? Are the students feeling comfortable in their schools? Are there issues still? How do they relate to that? Do they go to administration? Or do they feel like they can't? And then administration is going to be there to be telling us what they're doing to combat some of these issues and bring them forward. So I said it's 6:30. It is totally open to the public. And we are going to have a period in that 90 minutes where people can get off into groups and talk about if there are issues for them. And then what next steps might be, because this is just a talk. This is just a forum. This is just an inquiry into this. And so if there are next steps to happen within our community, what would that look like? And maybe that's something that PCRC could help to facilitate.
Okay. And so this is the first of many sessions?
Possibly.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds exciting.
Yeah, it is. And the date again?
The date is January 30th. It's at 6:30 at the Petaluma Library.
Okay. Public library.
Your public library.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the public is invited.
All right. That's good. And so, Gloria, I just learned today. I've known you for a few years. We actually did Vagina Monologues together. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, we were both readers in that performance. So I just learned today that Gloria was a a founder of the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development, and wow, I'm impressed. Tell us about that.
Yes, Petaluma Blacks for Community Development is a grassroots organization. The reason we got together as Afro-American members in the community was to let our kids remember from whence they come, you know, and also share the history within the community. So that's how we got started, you know, having programs. Our first program was at Bernard Eldridge School, and it was very small, and we had, at the time, the principal was Billy Ray Lipson, and she and I went in and I asked her, you know, if we could start, you know, having a little program to introduce the students to Black history. And she agreed, and here we are this year, 41 years later, still doing Black history. We went from the school over to, it was called the Five Corners Community Center, and we were there for quite a few years till we outgrew that building, and then we went to Lacasey Community Center. So we've been, you know, around in the community, like I said, 41 years. At first, the program seemed like it was just a few of us, a few Afro-Americans there. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, the community started really getting involved. Our city council always was there with proclamations to honor Black History Month. When Lynn Woosley was in Congress, she would send a proclamation all the way from Washington, D.C., honoring our Black History Month. So that made us all, you know, within the community feel proud that, you know, that the community has accepted the program.
Yeah.
And our program wasn't just about us learning our history, but it was about sharing our culture, you know, with the community.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you go about organizing that back in 77?
Well, there was a BSU at Casa Grande during the time. My kids were students at Casa Grande, and my daughter started making lists of each Black student she met, and she brought it home to me, and that's how I started getting some of the family's names. And also, when we met each other in the grocery stores and whatever, we were so happy to see each other, we would, you know, either hug and say, hi, how long you been here, and so forth and so on.
That sounds really nice, but I don't know, it's kind of sad that, you know, there's the two sides, or, you know, the divisiveness of almost feels like segregated community, but, you know, it's not that way anymore, and I'm happy about that.
That's true. Well, one thing I realized, too, when I came to Petaluma, the first thing you will always ask when you go to these, because I was involved in quite a few committees and meetings, what side of town are you on?
Yeah.
East side.
Yeah, there's that segregation.
So we do, in this community, we did have a little bit of that going, because that's the first question he was always asked.
And it's still going on.
Yes, it is.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Can you talk about your experience at Costco one day that we just talked about? Because it kind of ties in.
I was in Costco with one of my granddaughters, and I saw a Black couple on the other side of the aisle from me. But what really made me look at them was their little girl. She was absolutely gorgeous, and she had these beautiful pigtails. And I went over and I said hello to her. And then I started to talk to her mom. I asked her, were they new to the area? And I did ask them where they lived also, because I was hoping it was Petaluma. But anyway, I just went up to them and started talking to them and stuff. And I found out that they were actually from Alaska. They had been brought here by Sonoma State to work at Sonoma State. It is a Black couple, and so they are here to try and help that relationship and trying to encourage more Black people of color, really, to come to Sonoma State. But after I finished the conversation, my granddaughter said to me, she says, Grandma, I can't believe you did that.
Well, the good news is, across the board, whatever color you are, your grandkids will be embarrassed, or your kids will be embarrassed by things that we do.
Yeah,
I'd like to know, I mean, a little bit about both of you, where you grew up, where you where you were educated. How did you end up in Petaluma, and what kind of work that you did? And who wants to start first? Gloria?
Well, I was born and raised in Miami, Florida.
Wow.
Came to San Francisco in the early 60s. lived in San Francisco and then moved to Marin County in the later part of the 60s and then on up to Petaluma in 1971. I've been in Petaluma since 1971. I went to high school. I didn't go to college that well. When I moved to Petaluma, I went to the reentry program through Santa Rosa JC College for women that had just started out, and I got in the DITEC program. So I was a dietary supervisor at most nursing homes here in Petaluma when I first moved here.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And do you have children? I mean, how many children do you have?
Yes, I have four children. They're four young adults now, four grandchildren, and two great-grands.
That's great. That's great. And do they live in Petaluma, or where do they live?
They all went to, all four of my children went to Casa Grande High School. They all are productive adults. Yeah, my daughter is a CPA. My son is an electronic technician. And I have one that's in the nursing home. He went into the military, and he came back a zombie. And then my youngest one works at San Quentin for over 20 years now.
Oh, wow. Well, that's... Yeah. I'm sorry about your son and his military service.
That's another story.
Yeah. Wow.
Whereabouts in Marin did you live?
I lived in San Rafael.
Okay. I was born in San Rafael.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And my kids went to West End School, right off of 4th Street there. Yeah. And my kids, well, it was the oldest one. He was the only one, only Afro-American in that school.
I believe that.
Yeah. And he had a bad experience there that I didn't realize until he came to Petaluma. And the kids accepted him so well here in Petaluma in school. And his teacher showed me a paper that he had wrote. And what the paper had on it was, "Little black boy, go home and paint yourself white and then come back to this school."
Oh,
and my son never mentioned that to me. The teacher brought me in and showed me that paper. And I shed some tears.
Yeah,
because I didn't realize that my child was going through that, you know, in school. Yeah. And in this day and age, you know, with me coming from the South, I was used to being in an all-black, you know, school and so forth and so on. So it took me, that was kind of shocking for California.
Yeah.
California sometimes isn't as different as we think.
As the rest of the world.
Exactly. It's a big world out there.
That's so true.
Wow. Yeah. Faith, talk about your son also had experiences that you didn't know about.
Right. Yeah. I moved to Petaluma in 1975, so a little after Gloria did. But I was brought up in Shreveport, Louisiana. So I was brought up in the South, but I was born in Oakland, California. My parents migrated here during the war. My father worked at the shipyard in Oakland, and that's how we got out here. And then after having four children, my mom decided she didn't like living in the project. She didn't like the crowdedness. Because she grew up in a family that had its own land in Louisiana, and she felt like she wanted to go back there and raise her children, and that's what we did. We went back to Louisiana. Moving to Petaluma was really economic for us. I was working at a large bank at the time, and one of the lawyers in there was moving to Petaluma, and he brought in a brochure to me, and I looked at it, and one of the houses in that brochure was the exact same house that we were going to buy in Pleasanton, but it was $30,000 cheaper in Petaluma.
Wow.
And so I looked at it, I called my husband, and I said, "You know what, we need to go and look at this." He says, "Faith, where the hell is Petaluma?" And I said, "You know what? I don't know, but we can look it up and go there this weekend." And we did. And then I started calling some of the places, because we had one son at the time. I called Four Seas and some of the other agencies to see how we could get babysitters and stuff for him and the schools. I looked into the schools and all of that. And I had a real positive experience with all of that, and so we ended up in Petaluma. And yeah, I was talking to my sons just not too long ago, and we were talking about things that have happened in the schools, and both my sons know how active I am in the community. And so they were laughing and talking about some of the things that happened. And I said to them, I said, well, why didn't you mention this at the time? And my youngest son said to me, there was no way I was going to tell you and have you come out to the school. he didn't feel like he wanted to bring himself out in the forefront of that. And so that's part of the reason I really stay focused in the community and stuff, mm-hmm. is to make sure that other children don't have, or at least look at it, to see what's going on and bringing that out. Because your children may not tell you everything that happens, because they don't want to be criticized. They don't want people looking at them differently or anything. So,
So going back to January 30th, it kind of is full circle.
Right. So this is on the biases that may still be going on in the school. It's an inquiry. We don't know specifically what's going on, and we don't know what the school administration is doing to combat this. And so what we're doing is we're just trying to bring people together.
Right, to take a conversation.
Look at, yeah, a conversation is exactly what we're trying to get, and to look at it and see if there is an issue still, how is it being handled? And maybe this is the start of something. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
And it's just not, if you're Black, I mean, if you're lesbian, gay,
exactly.
Queer, whatever, mm-hmm. and
it's all kinds of issues, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, what are the students? Because it's a mix of things. What are the students feeling, and are they feeling like they can go to the administration? Is the administration open to this?
Well, and the things that we wouldn't talk about. I always think of Caitlin Quinn, who's on the school board now.
Yes,
and you know how she expresses her sexuality,
mm-hmm.
and you know people just wouldn't do that in my age group.
Right.
You certainly wouldn't have any political career if you did.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But I'd also, now since we're talking about the school board, talk about Joanna Pond, a first African-American elected official in Petaluma, which is very exciting.
Yes.
But I just look at her actually just as a person and what she does.
Yes.
And who she is. And I just want to say I met her mom and what a role model she must have been.
Mm-hmm.
And Joanna is a wonderful mother. I mean, I always see her older daughter. And with this beautiful smile and braces on and this pretty green, blue rubber bands on at the Women's March.
Right. And I've gotten to know Joanna just a little because, you know, of the things that happened to her when she was working for the city school.
Exactly.
As a counselor.
Right.
And so I really, really, I emailed her, I called her, I just got in her life. And I said, you really need to run for a school board. And I said, if you do, we will support you on that. I think it's important. I really think it's important for us to have people of color within our city, within our city government,
mm-hmm.
because we are a mixed community, mm-hmm. and the voices of all of those people need to be heard.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in this town. I was raised here. My parents were born here,
mm-hmm.
and we had, when I was at Old Adobe School and then went to Bernard Udridge, we had one Black family that I knew of, and it was the Wallace family. And I never will forget Leroy because he was the youngest of like five children, and he was always the most wild on the bus. That's what I remember. And then there was another family that moved in off Sutter Street. But then we had, which bothers me to this day, we had Henry, and we would call Henry the Shoeshine Man. Because that's what we knew of Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then there's this beautiful article in the Argus a few years back about who Henry was, where he lived, what his name was. And I really never knew that.
Right.
And then there was one other Black man, and he didn't have any legs. And he would drive around in a cart in town. And I to this day don't know who he was or what his name was, but we all knew him. And then, you know, having a ranch, we had so many people that would come up and buy eggs. And, you know, you could be Black, white, you know, you could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people gravitated to Cater Farms.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the new people that moved here gravitated there to buy eggs because it was exciting to move into Petaluma because we were a bedroom community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you saw, Faith,
right.
Why coming to Petaluma.
Exactly.
The bedroom community and we, you know, the different costs between Pleasanton. And in those days, we all knew that Petaluma would be special, someday, you know, be part of the city. But I was raised that it was only 45 minutes from the city, and we were there all the time because we had an egg route. But, yeah, it's for me, I'm seeing a lot more Black people in Petaluma.
Yeah, we are, too. Yeah. We're beginning to see a lot more families of color coming here. And it's not just because of the cost of living, because this is something that keeps you out now.
Exactly.
It's just turned completely from that. And so we know that they are here for different reasons. And, I mean, we have beautiful weather. We are very close to the city. We're close to the wine. We are wine country, actually, now.
The ocean.
The ocean, everything. So it's actually a perfect place to live.
Yeah. You know, it's good to open your eyes and see what's in your community.
Exactly.
And see how it's actually growing into a different type of a community. And I will be there on January 30th.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. We'd really love to have you there. Yeah. I also want to talk about our Black activities.
Absolutely.
For Black History Month.
Black History Month.
Well, let me tell folks who they're listening to today. We are Inside Petaluma on KPCA 103.3 FM right here in Petaluma. And we are chatting with community leaders Faith Ross and Gloria Robinson today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you again for being here. And Faith, you've got a whole bunch of activities that are coming up with, I want to use the acronym,
PBRC?
PBCD.
Yeah.
PBCD.
Oh, PBCD, okay.
Yeah. Petaluma Blacks for Community Development.
Yes.
That
All
is
right.
our organization. And I want to say, Janice, I don't know if you remember, but one of your daughters participated on one of our programs.
It was Olivia, because I was out of town.
Oh, okay.
And so I couldn't speak. It was when I was on the city council, and I do remember that.
Okay.
And I looked for something for her to read.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
She did. She did a wonderful job.
Yeah. And she's a young mother now. She has two stepchildren and two biological children, but they're all blended together. And she is now 33 years old.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yes. So 41 years. Yeah, we've been doing this for 41 years.
Yes.
So what we've done is we've added a lot of activities since our beginnings, which was in the Old Adobe School District. We've had, and we chose the Old Adobe School District because that's where most of the Black families lived at that time. We were on the east side of Petaluma. Okay, so to start off our program this year, we have our 7th annual jazz concert with the Dorian Mode. And as most people know, Dorian is a biracial young lady who lives here. And the concerts are actually wonderful. The upstairs for the concert is sold out, but we do have tickets still downstairs. So you can go to the Petaluma Museum website and buy those tickets, or you can walk right into the museum and get them.
Well, I wrote library when I'm writing this because that was the original Petaluma
exactly
library. I realized, boy, I've got to come with the times.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. And then on February 7th, our exhibit will open there. And our exhibit this year is The Great Black Migration, 1910 to 1970. And I have to say that my family was part of that migration in the 1940s, as I said earlier. But we're taking a look at that whole period and what brought people from the South to the North and Northwest and really to the West Coast. And most of the people who came here on the West Coast came during World War II in the 1940s. Because of the shipyards and because of the jobs and stuff that were here. And so we will be telling some of those stories from some of those people. The exhibit will have a lot of that information in it, but we will also have a tribute to Aretha Franklin.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Wonderful. Yeah, which we're doing. And then on that Saturday, after the exhibit opens, we're going to have a children's story time. And I chose two books that speak of the migration. One is Daddy Played the Blues by Michael Garland. It sounds like a blues book, but it's really about the migration of that family from the South to the North and how the dad really, he came here to the North for work, but his real emphasis and his love was the blues. And so they tell that story. And the other book is This Is the Rope by Jacqueline Woodson. And that is about a rope that's been in that family for centuries now. And so I'm really hoping that people will bring their children out, but also come out themselves to listen to those stories. And then we have two wonderful ladies who have done some extraordinary, I think, I just don't know how they did it, research into the history. Sharon McGrath Payne, who lives in Vallejo, whose family is also a part of the migration. She's going to be talking about her book and also a little about her family's migration to Vallejo and what they did in Vallejo. And also Dr. Martha C. Taylor will talk about her book, From Labor to Reward, which is a book about the churches in the East Bay and how they got started. But she also talks about the migration because her family is a part of that migration from the South to the North also, or to the West Coast. And then, of course, we have our 41st Annual Black History Program. That will be this year. It's in the auditorium of the New Life Christian Fellowship. And that is at 1310 Clegg Street, which is right off of North McDowell. This is not, yeah, North McDowell. Mm-hmm. This is a new location for us because of timing and getting a place to have the program. So I'm hoping that people can find it and will come out.
And Clegg Street is past the post office.
Yeah,
exactly. North of the post office.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it
okay.
is.
Okay. I had to get my bearings straight.
Yeah. And then, of course, our annual gospel hour. That is so much fun to have about four different churches there singing and stuff and people worshiping and everything. It's really a fun time, but you do have to get there early. It's at the Petaluma Christian Church, 1160 Schumann Lane, and the program starts at 4 p.m.
So do you have a pastor there or a minister? What do you call your...
Eric King is our pastor.
Okay, so he's called the pastor.
All right. Okay. I call him Eric, but it's
okay,
pastor.
Got it. I'm not sure if I've met him. How long has he been here?
He has been at the PCC for a little less than 2 years, I
okay,
think.
I don't think I think I met the previous.
You probably have because every year they're there. But you'll have to remember that Roland Baum, who was on the city council, is really the person who started this at the church.
Mm-hmm.
He came to one of our programs and he said, you know, we have to do something in the community. We have to have something. And this is where this started. So this has been going on for almost 40 years also.
Wow. That's great.
Wow. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I feel a little silly being in my community and not knowing a lot of things.
Roland was the one who said, we need to bring this to the community. And he volunteered at Petaluma Christian Church, and that's where we've done it ever since.
Well, the park close to my house is Bond Park.
That's right.
Roland Bond.
Yeah, named after him.
Exactly. Well, I will think about him in a very different light when I take our dog Coco down there and play ball.
Can keep going. I one more thing about the Cato Farm. The Cato Farm, when they got rid of it, I was very disappointed because of the fact that we used to, every time I had company from out of town, my mom or whoever came to town, we had to go over to the Cato Farm for a picnic and have the best fried chicken that you can. You don't ever think of eating.
Yeah.
We don't have the recipe. And I don't know how they made it.
Uh-huh.
And everybody says the same thing. It was the best fried chicken. And coming from you, that's really a compliment.
Yes, because Gloria makes good fried chicken.
Oh, that's funny. Oh. And people would come up for picnics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was a beautiful area.
Who prepared the chicken?
My parents, we had a store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was a Marin kid, so I didn't
Well,
got
no,
to
first
see.
Of all, we had an egg room, and that's where we used to sell eggs from.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then we lived in a Quonset hut for 7 years, and when we moved out of the Quonset hut to the house, mm-hmm. It's like there were six of us lived in a Quonset hut. My bedroom was a hall at the end of the hallway with my brother, and it was an old army hut, if you know,
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
red Quonset hut. And that's all we could afford, but we had this beautiful egg room. Mm-hmm. And then it was into the house, and then the garage ended up being part of the store, and then they built the store.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was thinking about that the other day, that my parents actually ground up old chicken parts and made dog food.
Mm-hmm.
And today,
what are people buying for their animals? Raw,
yeah,
you know, products.
Yeah.
And so my dad was always way ahead of his time, but never could really patent anything or, you know, move on, unfortunately. But he was way ahead of his time, and it's always nice to hear these stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember the donkey? We had a donkey.
Yes, that was one of the highlights.
So
of the children.
Yeah.
Of the kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah. So, what else is going to be going on in the community during Black History Month that you haven't already highlighted? Are there other groups or organizations that you know of that will be celebrating in some form?
I don't know if any activities other than the ones that we are having. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would just encourage people to come and see the exhibit. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of energy and a lot of time goes into putting the exhibit together.
Can you give us an overview of what we're going to see?
Of course.
All right.
Well, first of all, you're going to see a timeline.
Okay.
From 1910 to 1970, that shows some of the things that happened in that period. And you have to remember that a lot of civil rights legislature took place. Mm-hmm. The Harlem Renaissance took place during that. So when Black people migrated from the South, they not only came for economic reasons, they came for other reasons too, their cultural reasons. And to be able to become more of a person than they were in the South, given a chance to be able to speak and talk and work in their own communities. And then the churches that they built, because that's a part of what they brought from the South. They brought their faith from the South. Mm-hmm. And so these churches and stuff grew up. And that's what Martha will talk about in her lecture when she does it on March 3rd. And that's not until March 3rd. But the great Black Migration exhibit will show the history. It will feature a lot of the people. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. There are some stories. Like, I don't know if you are familiar with Mrs. Perry, who lived outside of, I guess, the city limits of Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
And her family, how she came to the South. And so that story is going to be there. And her kids still have the farm, I think, that they originally bought in that area. And so there will be actually some stories of other Black families that have moved from the South to the North. And we will do a couple of stories from The Warmth of Other Suns, which was a fantastic book about the migration. And so some of that will be in there. Then the tribute to Aretha Franklin. And actually her father and mother moved from, I mean, all of this just ties into that migration. Mm-hmm. Her family moved from the South to Detroit, you know, and her history and stuff. And so that, we were trying to do that. And we're actually looking for pictures and stuff for some of the things that the Black people, when they migrated, what they took with them. And we were talking about the shoebox. Because the shoebox was really what they took their food in. And everybody knows that in that shoebox was fried chicken, pound cake, and some other things. But definitely that fried chicken and pound cake was
And a fruit.
And a fruit was in was in that. And a red soda.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about the red soda.
Red soda.
And the movie that just came out about the Green Book is really interesting because my family migrated in the 40s to California, actually, is where they came to work in the shipyards. And so they came by train or they came by car, and they knew that there were places, they would try and plan their trip so that they didn't have to stop that much. Because they knew that they could not find lodging in most of the hotels and stuff. And they were really concerned about what they would find on the way from Louisiana to California. So a lot of the men would come first, try and find housing and stuff, and then send for their families, you know, and the families would come by train.
Right. Well, you know, when my grandparents immigrated here, you know, my grandmother was in the old country for 3 years before, you know, she was able to migrate here. And when she came, you know, when you talk about, you're talking about the box, but she came with the candlesticks and the pillows and the down comforter. And she came through, actually, Siberia, through Harbin, China, and then to Seattle. And then from Seattle had to go to Minneapolis. And then the Barlas family and the Fishman family, who were related, ended up in Petaluma. And, but, you know,
I
it
didn't
just,
know that.
Yeah, but it just, it's very interesting, you know, hearing this about the migration. And, you know, there's just different but similar.
And it's such a great time. It's such a history that really isn't talked about a lot. You know, I know I didn't learn a whole lot about it. And then when I started reading all of these books and realized, wait a minute, this is when my family came here. They came here in the 40s. You know, it's just amazing. And the, even though my personal family, my mom and my dad and my sisters and brothers, didn't stay because of my mom's decision that she needed to be with her her mom and her family, you know, in Louisiana. And I you know, I totally understand that. My mom's family had land. They had their own farm. And whatever they didn't raise, they bordered for, you know, with other people. Whereas my dad's family, they were sharecroppers. And so they would move around a lot. I can remember when I was a little girl visiting my grandmother in her house and stuff, and my uncle talking about, well, next year we'll be over here, we'll be there. And so they moved with the crops and stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The history.
Yeah.
You know, and this is, I mean, this is U.S. history.
Yes, it is. It's a big part of the United States history. And it's not really told a lot. It is, it's, we're getting better at it in our books, but we have to remember that the history is told by the person who's writing it. It's not necessarily the truth.
That's true.
Have they put this history in the history books for kids in school? Because I certainly didn't have it when I was going to school. Entitled White Marin.
I don't think a lot of it is there, and I think maybe it's just sort of glazed over, if it's even in there. I did send out letters to many of the school teachers at both CASA and Petaluma, letting them know what we were doing. And I heard from one from each school. So I'm hoping that they will encourage their students to come out and at least see the exhibit. And I also emailed some of the instructors at Sonoma State, too. And I did get a response from one of the instructors who said that he teaches the Great Migration, although he's not there right now. He's on a sabbatical. But he uses Jacob Lawrence's pictures that he drew of the migration. He tells the migration through paintings. And we're also, I forgot to say that, we're also going to have those up. We're trying to get permission to put copies of those up in the exhibit.
Wow. This is really interesting.
Extremely
interesting. And so, and it kind of goes back, you know, when you're reaching out to the schools, what's going to happen on the 30th? I mean, that's the beginning. And, you know, you're just hoping it it expands, but starts maybe in the earlier ages.
And that's
the high school.
We're starting at the high school level, but really this starts in the family. And so if we can get our community talking about these things and what you're teaching your children at home really carries over into what they do, what they see in school. And they take a lot of that to school with them.
Do you have like a Facebook page to talk about this? And keep adding information for, you know, having an educational component of it?
You know, PCRC, the Petaluma Community Relations Council, does have a Facebook page. And that's a good suggestion. I'll have to mention that to them.
Start an event.
Well, an event, but you have this I Love Petaluma, which is an interesting group, but it's a value to the community.
It is. Mm-hmm.
But I think that this would also be a real value to the community, just to talk about up-and-coming events, educating people, getting teachers involved,
right.
Getting other churches and synagogues, you know, involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so people are looking at people as people.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, one of the things that one of the gals at the Women's March last week, a black gal, she was really emotional, and she just talked about how when she would be walking, people clutch their purses when they see her,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's just so much stereotyping,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, these kind of stories need to be told,
yep.
so people might do it inadvertently, but they're education.
Right, you know, people say, well, I'm not biased, but all of us have our own biases.
That's true.
You know,
right.
And so we have to look at that and be aware of it. And I think the more we talk about it, the more we become aware mm-hmm. of those biases. And by talking about it and becoming aware of what we're doing, we can change.
We can change
if we're willing to make that change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's true. Change is hard.
It is.
You know, and it's really about education. And when you can start educating people at an early age, but, you know, by the time you're 5 years old, you still have a lot of influence from your family.
That's true.
And it's hard to turn that ship around, but you have to start early.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like these young adults in high schools are more verbal,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's very good.
I think it is, too. I think that we're going to see a lot of differences from the younger families.
I think so,
I
too.
I really do.
I think so, too. And, you know, it's more tolerable, but we still have our bias and racism in Petaluma.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like when Barack Obama was running and won? You know, I know what it was like for me, but it must have been very different for you.
You know what? Right. I want to tell you guys one thing. People would walk up to me on the street and say, congratulations. And I would just, you know, and I'm thinking, why are they telling me congratulations, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I had won something, and when I really didn't, I was really glad to see him as president. But people talk, and they say, well, Obama didn't do this, Obama didn't help the blacks, Obama didn't do any all of this. But the one thing that he did do, for me, I see that we're not having happen in our country right now is he taught our men how to be fathers.
That's true.
He taught them what a family should look like.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he practiced what he spoke about.
Right.
He was there for his family. And his language was above reproach.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so when people say, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, for me, those are the greatest things that he could do because he showed us how we should be living. Because, you know, that's what we're supposed to be.
It's very true.
As a family.
Right.
And so everything else is just out there.
Right.
You know,
right.
The political things are there, and that's going to change. But if you don't have those foundational things about family and how you speak to people and how you talk, then you have nothing.
That's very true.
Look at the way the current president talks.
No feelings. No feelings at
Let's
all.
Not go there.
It was funny. I had to go to Charles Schwab yesterday for something. And, of course, the news is on, and he is on it. I just could not stand listening to his voice. And the woman on the other side of the desk is women. We were talking about women and how we feel about it. And then a man came in, and he was listening, and he couldn't stand it either, so she went and turned the radio off.
It's an interesting time.
It's a very interesting time, but, you know, I think we will survive, but I have a lot of fears. You know, there's just so much past history that he is bringing back with the same language.
Exactly. And there's going to have to be a lot of undoing things that happened in this 4 years.
A lot of undoing. Yeah. But I think that there are a lot of really good people watching that. And Eric Holder is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's really working on making sure that people are able to vote and the gerrymandering. And he is, he's one of the big leaders in that.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's interesting that we would be back to a time when people aren't free to vote. It's just
It's shocking.
It is.
Yeah, and it's hard to understand how it happened, but once you understand how gerrymandering works, and it took me quite a while to really figure this out, the light bulb just went on. Okay, well, here's a big, you know, lot of white people. Let's go ahead and make our boundaries this direction. We're going to take these people out and make different rules.
That's right.
And it's very frightening. Yeah. So, but with that, I'm looking forward to taking this, all the information, and actually attending quite a few of these events. And I think I'm going to pick my granddaughters up from Sacramento and bring them down on
that.
That
would be absolutely great. And our information is on Facebook.
Okay. And we can put it on our website?
We can. And I'll give that information at the end of the show. But first of all, I'd like to say thanks again to Gloria Robinson and Faith Ross.
Thank you.
For being here today. It's been great having a discussion with you and hearing about your past and how you got here. I always like hearing stories like that.
Thank
you for having us.
I mean, stories are how a country was built. All on stories.
I didn't tell you how I got here. I came up 101. Kicking and screaming. Because I saw all those cows and I didn't want to move to the country. But I have changed that story since I've been here in Petaluma. Petaluma is a town that grows on you. You have to get out there and get involved in your community.
So
you'll see how wonderful it is. It's the people and everything.
I kind of felt like that too when I moved. I was born and raised in Marin, and then when it was time to come to Petaluma, I cried because I didn't want to come to the country either. And that's how I got involved with running for city council. Was I started seeing people, developers, wanting to turn Petaluma into another Marin. And I was like, oh, no. I already moved once. I'm not going any further north. And then that's what you got to do. You got to get active and
be involved.
Keep an eye on things.
Stay involved,
Well,
we have something in common, and I am petrified of cows.
We were taking a hike up in the Sonoma Mountains, and with a group like the Land Trust or something,
and all these cows came up, and I was stiff, and I couldn't move because a neighbor was kicked by the cow. She hit her head on the hitch of the truck and died. I remember this as a child, and to this day, I'm petrified of cows. But I'm glad I live here, and I like looking at them on the other side of the fence.
Right.
Okay, so you've been listening to Inside Petaluma here on KPCA LP 103.3 FM, Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas. My co-host, Janice Keeter-Thompson, and I have had fun with Gloria and Faith entertaining you today, and we hope you come back. We're here every Friday from 11 to noon. Next week, our other co-host, Jason Davies, should be back with us, so it'll be the gruesome threesome again. And we have a website you can go to, and that is insidepetaluma.com. And we're waving through the window at two mooks out there. The two mooks and a mic are about to come on. Oh, look, they've got John Crowley with them. And on InsidePetaluma.com, you will find all of our past shows that you can listen to. And we also have a Facebook page, which is, KPCA Inside Petaluma. So we're everywhere. Go like us on Facebook. Go look at our webpage, and do come back and listen to us again next Friday.
Well, thank you, and thank you. You know, you're just two of my favorite women. Thank you.
All right. Everybody have a good weekend. See you later.
Thank you. Oh, this was good.